Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. From the heart to the beautiful Missouri Ozarks, greetings and welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship New Testament Study for Sunday, March 19th, 2017. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we really are glad you've chosen to join us this morning via the on-demand aspect. You know, when we first started this 2.5 years ago, we did this live.
Yeah.
And we can't pull that off because we're just not live people.
Well, it requires a little beefier internet connection than what we have available to us. We probably could do it now if we used our phones
possibly
with the data, but still.
But it's not worth it because the truth is most people in our society now want to listen or watch on their schedules. So doing something live not only means that we have to at the same time every week be ready and set it aside and, you know, just say if something else comes up, then that's too bad. But you have to set it aside. And we like the idea that you can listen to it anytime you want to, wherever you want to, and have those archives available for you as long as the Lord allows them to stay up there.
Amen. Amen. There is something I think, and it's taken me a long time to get over this, you know, being an old radio guy, and now that applies in every sense of the term, that doing it live was the way to be legitimate. It didn't really count if it wasn't broadcast live. But the fact is, when we looked at the statistics of who was listening live on Blog Talk Radio when we did it versus who would listen in the stream afterward, who would listen to the archives, and it was like a
like 95-1.
It was not even close.
No.
I mean, not 3 or 4 to 1. It was like 200 to 1.
Yeah.
In favor of people listening later.
Yeah.
So. This has turned out to be the way to do it. But we do appreciate you taking the time to subscribe, which you can do at gilberthouse.org by clicking one of the buttons. And I'm going to have to look at the website because it's been a while since I've actually looked. Where did I put the subscribe thing? Okay, it's on the left-hand side. You can subscribe in a number of ways. You can subscribe to the podcast with your iTunes app on your mobile device or on your laptop, your desktop machine. You can subscribe on whatever other podcatcher you like. If you have a Stitcher account, you can subscribe via Stitcher, or you can just subscribe via email so that every time we post a new study, you'll get an email notice, and then you can download the MP3 file from there. So any one of those, or you can just play it at the internet, or rather at the website itself, because the website, each post will have a little player below. So we try to make it as easy as possible. Listen on your schedule. You demand us this on-demand thing. Demand when you want it.
Honey,
and
you
we'll
demand.
Serve it right up.
You demand.
And you de-woman.
Oh.
So a beautiful day here in Missouri, and we are just delighted to just see spring here. Finally, we had a taste of it in February. We thought it was going to be another early spring like it was 2 years ago, but not quite so much.
But we only had a few days of cold weather. You know, that's very typical of early springs. You will get suddenly this sort of, retro 2 or 3 day period, and then it's back. The birds and the trees, they have thought it was spring for the last month.
Right. And fruit trees here in Missouri probably took some damage because we did have a hard frost for a couple of nights, temperatures in the low 20s, which, for our friends in the upper Great Plains, we know that that's not really winter in the true sense of the word. But for here,
that's
with
true,
the peach trees budding out, that's
more than likely people who actually have orchards have had smudge pots out.
Right.
Yeah. It's just those folks who are backyard gardeners, backyard, tree people.
Yeah. I think we lost one of our rose bushes out front, but it was sickly anyway. It was doing poorly.
It needed a different medicine.
Yes. So, but we're glad you're joining us, however and wherever you are and your weather is today. We're just feeling good because the weather is just a beautiful, wonderful time of year. I used to be somebody who really enjoyed and preferred fall. But I think as my outlook on life has changed and improved over the years, spring really has become my favorite time of year.
I love spring. I love fall as well. I just like, because by the time you get to fall, you're so ready for those cooler temperatures.
True.
You're so ready for a change. By the way, since we're talking about spring and the beauty of the time of year and the great weather, you and I next Sunday are going to take a well-deserved vacation. You and I never take any kind of
very rarely.
In the 20 years almost that we've been married, we've maybe taken two.
Mm-hmm.
And those are usually to go see family. We sort of work that in. And strangely enough, we're doing a similar thing this time. We've got family coming into the Branson area. So we are going to go down there for the weekend and just have some
Us time.
We don't get that very often. But we're doing that next weekend, so we apologize. No podcast in Gilbert House Fellowship unless we have time during the week, which we know how that works out.
Yeah,
that just never works
not
out.
Gonna work
and
out,
the following Sunday, we're going to be in Dallas.
Right. So unless we are inclined to do it in Dallas, and I don't think we'll have time
to do
the debut.
Because we're going to be very busy down there.
Times on our, other demands on our time while we're in Dallas. So we may miss for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. And we're, by the way, in case you go to gilberthouse.org and in the right-hand column, the sidebar, you're going to see the various places where we're going to be. We're going to be, in Branson again this September for the True Legends Conference.
That's going to be really interesting.
Tom Horn is actually going to speak.
Yeah.
He does not do that anymore.
He has given that up. He's not made a public announcement about it, but
he said no so many times.
Right. He, in fact, backed out of doing the Strategic Perspectives Conference for Chuck Missler.
One up in Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, year before last. And it's because he just doesn't want to do that anymore. He's focused on Whispering Ponies Ranch and getting the ranch up and running. The first children will be arriving at the ranch in June.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a lot of construction going on there. And that's really where his heart is right now, not going out writing books and selling and speaking. Instead, he is sort of, I say passing the baton, passing the mantle. That's Elisha stuff. And
no, he's just going into a different phase of his ministry.
He wants people like you and me and Josh Peck to basically take the ball and run with it now. And so Josh and I are working on a book that'll be out around Christmas, God willing. And then I've got another one in my mind that I've already outlined for next spring, further developing what people are thankfully waiting on the current book, which I think we mentioned it last week, but we'll remind you that, because we got some new information this week. The book, The Great Inception, has been delayed at the printer again.
We told you last week that it was delayed from March the 7th to March the 25th. Well, now we've been told it will be April 10th.
Mm-hmm. On or about the 10th.
We've done. We got everything to this printer in plenty of time, and this is not the first time they've done this to us. So when our offers go out late, it has been because of this printer.
Yeah. And that is frustrating. I come from a sales background, and so I am very much aware of how this makes Defender Publishing and Skywatch TV appear.
Mm-hmm.
But there's really nothing we can do about it because the printer has not physically produced the books. We don't physically have the books to put in the boxes. Now, the ladies in the warehouse who've been through this before have already pre-packed several thousand boxes at the warehouse with everything but – because Mike Heiser's book is in.
Mm-hmm. Everything is in except for your book.
Right. We've already shipped a load of books of Mike's book to Amazon. So people who ordered his book alone through Amazon are already getting theirs.
Mm-hmm.
My book won't even be out until we had hoped to take some with us to the conference in Dallas, but we just won't have any.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, thank you for your patience. We appreciate it. I'm astonished because I'm told, I have a rough idea of how many we've sold already, and I'm astonished because it is far beyond what I ever thought.
Well, you were in the top five at one point last week.
In the Amazon prophecies category, right. And and I'm happy for Tom because Tom and Nita Horn, Defender Publishing, basically the profits from Defender Publishing are going to finance Whispering Ponies Ranch.
Yeah.
That's what they're using it for.
Exactly.
So to see two of the books, Mike's book and my book, in the top five in that category, both books in the top 10 in a couple of other categories at Amazon before they were even released is really astounding. And we've not really even done the heavy promotional push for the book yet, aside from what we've done on Skywatch TV. Tom will probably contract a PR guy that he knows, and I will be doing the rounds and may appear on other Christian television and radio programs, maybe even a coast-to-coast appearance. I don't know. So we'll see about that. But anyway, just thank you if you've ordered a copy, if you've ordered the package from Skywatch TV, or if you've ordered the book from Amazon and you're waiting on a delivery for the book.
Yeah.
You won't see it until about the second week of April. And, you know, that's frustrating to us. For me, because this is my first book published by a major publisher, and I haven't got a copy yet either. So I really want to see it as badly as you do. But anyway, so yeah, a lot of exciting things coming up. The True Legends Conference in Branson with Tom Horn, Steve Quayle, L.A. Marzulli, all speaking at the same conference. Dr. Michael Lake, Timothy Alberino.
And you.
And me. And it's like, how'd that guy sneak in there? So
I know.
it's going to be an amazing conference. Gordon McDonald is coordinating this. He was formerly with Koinonia House, Chuck Missler's organization, and he says they are investigating live video streaming. So that is a possibility. There will certainly be a DVD set, and the DVD will be offered a couple of ways. You can actually wait for a DVD disc or do a digital download if you've got the bandwidth at home.
Oh, that's nice.
Right.
And that does take a lot of bandwidth. It's probably, we're talking mini gigs.
Oh, yeah. So there is that. But he did send me an email because people have asked, and they are investigating the live stream. And then, of course, in October, we'll be in Oklahoma City, Norman, for the Blessed Hope Prophecy Forum, which is our friends Bob and Gary at Prophecy Watchers. 33 speakers, both of us will be speaking at that conference, along with Josh Peck. And, gosh, you know, the usual cast of characters there, plus some new ones. Timothy Alberino will be speaking at that conference as well. Carl Teichrib will be down from Canada, and love when Carl speaks
because
the academic rigor that he brings, he's in a class with Mike Heiser. He doesn't have the PhD behind his name, but his academic rigor is right up there. So that'll be a wonderful conference too. So we've got a lot of great things going on this year, and we're just thrilled to death that these doors have opened. But yeah, we're looking forward to next weekend just going to Branson and just sort of hanging out. And,
I know. Well, so, we get into some exciting stuff today.
Yes. Revelation chapter 4. We begin talking about the opening of the seals. We get into the prophetic segment of Revelation. So this from here on out is going to be some interesting stuff. Open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, which tells us of the things that are to come. And Lord, we know that just as with the prophecies of Messiah's first coming, the prophecies of his return are somewhat obscured so that the enemy cannot fabricate an even more convincing lie. And we know that already there will be a deception so convincing that many will be deceived by it. Lord, we pray that you'll grant us wisdom and discernment to understand as best we can what you have revealed to us. But help us to remember that regardless of how this all transpires, that we know for certain that a day is coming when you return, when Christ returns in the clouds, and that judgment will come upon the earth. Justice will be done. Tears will be wiped away. All wounds will be healed. And things will be set right. While we have time, Lord, please help us to be excited about spreading the news, the good news, making disciples of all nations as we've been commanded. Grant us the wisdom to speak when the opportunities arise with gentleness and respect, with love, Father, that we may draw people to you instead of pushing them away. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I raised up my hand because I was hearing this little dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, I was
like
hearing that too.
Hitting something.
And it may just be the, I don't know, some kind of vibration that was caused.
It stopped when we raised our hands.
It almost sounded, I thought it might have even been, you know, vibrations from the birds on the deck cracking open sunflower seeds. Because then, you know, they get on those hooks, those little shepherd's hooks things, and it, da, 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 it's like, okay.
Buzz.
Yeah, it's almost like when the woodpeckers used to get on top of
The drumming.
The grill.
Impressing all the chicks.
Impressing the chicks.
I would recommend that instead of starting right at 4:1, that at the very least, let me go back in chapter 3 and just read a couple of things to you.
Okay.
See if I can find. Chapter 3, verse 8. I know your works. This is to Philadelphia. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I'm bringing that up for a reason.
Okay.
Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. The reason I say that is because what happens in verse 1?
Okay, we go to Revelation 4, beginning at verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. So now John has been transported into the heavenly realm.
Exactly. Yeah. He'd been on earth at this point. The historical timeline of the churches on earth And here we see him transported to heaven in the blink of an eye.
Yeah. Yeah, which is significant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A door standing open in heaven, and the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this."
Okay, again, this is the voice, a shout, and the sound of a trumpet.
Yeah. And
It's Christ.
Yeah, and the voice saying what will take place after this. So now we're looking at future events, because the events that transpired that
were
described
in verses... Well, they were prophetic at the time that they were written.
Right. Yeah, true.
It's history to us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are so many questions that, honestly, if you want to have a very simplistic view of the Bible, these questions will drive you crazy.
Yeah.
But the fact is, the Lord God Almighty is so much more complicated than we can even imagine that even trying to think outside the box leads us into questions that are sort of an oogie space.
Right. Because we're thinking outside of a three-dimensional box, and he's working with about 11 dimensions. So
infinite.
Yeah, drive us insane.
Exactly.
Anyway, Revelation 4. We're 22 minutes in, and we've only got one verse covered. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice said, and the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once, I was in the spirit, in the blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. And behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And seated on the thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. Now, who are these 24 elders? That's still an open question.
We don't know. Maybe the Old and New Testament, you know, prophets, so to speak. The original
the prophets
12
and the apostles.
Sons and the apostles. Yeah.
Right. There are others who suggest it might represent the raptured church. Could represent the heavenly court. There's a reference to this in Daniel chapter 11.
Exactly.
Chapter 7, rather, but don't know for sure.
I would argue that it is both the Jewish, the Old Testament, and the New, the two covenants together, and which is the church.
Yeah, yeah. That would make sense.
But, you know, don't know. The Lord may get there and nobody had it right.
You all had it wrong, From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. We mentioned those in the previous chapter. Those are drawn from Isaiah 11, verse 2, the spirit of the Lord, spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel, spirit of might, spirit of knowledge, and spirit of the fear of the Lord.
Now, this whole section, verses 5 and 6, this describes someone else, too. You know who it is. This is storm god imagery.
Well, yes, you're right.
Sitting on a sea.
Right. With thunders and flashings and so forth. Yeah, again, this is... A tactic used often in the Old Testament.
And many of the storm gods are depicted on chariots or thrones, mobile ones sometimes. Right. They're wherever it is that they're judging. They are described in this way.
Yes.
Now, we're not equating God Almighty, Yahweh, with them at all.
No.
They are imitations of him.
That's exactly right. And what the apostles and prophets were saying by using that imagery to describe Yahweh is like, no, you Baal worshipers, you Zeus worshipers, you have it wrong. Yahweh is the rider on the clouds. Mm-hmm. Yahweh is the one who wields the thunderbolt. As you mentioned in that Habakkuk 3 section where he went out with, you know, lightning and flashing in his right hand. You're right. That is storm god imagery. And the apostles and the prophets were appropriating it back. And this, by the way, is a counter argument to those who say, well, the book of Enoch shouldn't be in the canon. And, well, yeah, but it was cited by Peter and Jude. Well, that doesn't, so, you know, there are those who would argue that that doesn't matter, that Enoch should not be included in the Bible. It's like, well, look,
I think you need to read it regardless.
We're not arguing that Enoch is part of the canon or should be part of the canon any more than we're arguing that the Baal cycle, which described Baal as the cloud rider wielding the thunderbolt, should be. But the prophet still quoted it to make a point. So just because it's quoted in the Bible doesn't mean it's canon. But on the other hand, it means we need to sit up and take notice.
Yes.
And verse 6 is significant, too. And before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. Baal's palace is described as having a floor.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why I brought it up.
And around the throne, on each side of the throne, there are four living creatures. Now, this is a callback to Ezekiel chapter 1.
Exactly, the wheels.
Yeah, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight.
Now, these are the four cardinal points.
Four cardinal points of the zodiac.
These are the four corners.
Of the earth, right.
Yes.
In Isaiah 6:3 and in Ezekiel 1, verses 5 through 14, and of course, Ezekiel 1 is the famous description of the wheel within a wheel mm-hmm. that ancient astronaut prophets mm-hmm. and evangelists like to say, it was a UFO. No.
No.
This was throne room imagery that was common in the ancient Near East.
That was well known.
Exactly. You can look at inscriptions showing images of the of thrones of the ancient kings of Babylon, of Ugarit, of Egypt, and they had wheels on their chariots on their thrones for some reason. Mm-hmm. They had these creatures, these lamasu in Akkadian, cherubim in Hebrew, seraphim in Hebrew, around the throne as throne guardians. That's what they're describing. But again, those human depictions for human rulers are copies, mere shadows of the reality that John was shown here, that Isaiah was shown, that Ezekiel was shown. What he is seeing, John, are the seraphim described mm-hmm. by Ezekiel. Now, he said, now Ezekiel had each of the creatures, there were four in Ezekiel mm-hmm. 1, had four faces on each one.
Yes.
But it's still the same, you know, it's the same thing. The same idea. Right. And the four living creatures, verse 8, each of them with six wings, just as they were described mm-hmm. in Isaiah and Ezekiel, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created."
It seems like John has been called up to heaven, and
yes,
in one split second, he's suddenly in the divine council.
That's exactly right. And that is what defines, in a biblical sense, a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Not just 100% accuracy in their prophecies, but one who has stood in the divine council. Every one of them has had an appearance like that. Isaiah with the, who will go for us? Send me, O Lord, mm-hmm. though I'm a man of unclean lips.
Mm-hmm.
They all have that throne room appearance.
Chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who is seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. The person sitting on the throne is God Almighty. This is Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. And this scroll is the title deed to the earth.
It is indeed. In fact, I would say that this happened. You might say not only did he move forward in time, he moved backward in time. If you're going from our perspective on earth,
mm-hmm.
it's all now to Yahweh.
Right.
But I'll explain that in a minute. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" Who has the right to this title deed? "And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth," under the earth.
Interesting. Yes.
"Was able to open the scroll or to look into it." In other words, those beings who are under the earth were aware that this was going on.
And in spite of the fact that they are certainly supernatural beings of immense power, they were not worthy.
Mm-hmm. "And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it."
I wonder if that means that the only, not just the only human, but the only entity, the only being in creation ever to be without sin is Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Other than Yahweh.
Right. But they're one and the same. So
exactly. "And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb, capital L, standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth.
I saw that Tim LaHaye and others would suggest that seven horns means authority and the seven eyes means intelligence. Don't know.
Don't know either. Well, horn is a sign of power.
Right.
Or dominion.
Mm-hmm.
This is when Christ arrives.
Mm-hmm.
He was taken up. John watched him go.
Right.
And now he's watching him arrive in heaven.
Yeah. And it had been slain. So
remember what Jesus said to his disciples? Don't be mad just because somebody's going to outlive the rest of you. And we'll get to see the Son of Man in all his glory.
Right. Which, of course, some interpreted to mean that John was going to live forever.
No, he didn't live forever, but he got to see it.
He lived long enough to see it. Right.
So he's standing there. Again, this is why I say he went forward in time, he went backward in time.
Flash forward, flash backward.
Sideways.
Flash sideways.
And he went and took the scroll, Jesus Christ, took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. Dad, I can do it. Hand it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb.
Worshiping
Previously,
him.
They'd been worshiping Yahweh.
Right.
Fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So this is an answer to prayer.
Mm-hmm. And think about that, our prayers go up into the very throne room of God mm-hmm. before him personally.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As incense, as a pleasing aroma to the Lord.
Exactly.
How about that?
And our praise does too, because it refers to a sacrifice of praise. These
right.
things go into his throne room.
Hmm.
And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. And they shall reign on the earth."
Mm-hmm.
We always think about, you know, oh, we're all going to be in heaven someday. Well,
no.
Not so much.
Yeah, it's coming on the earth. And it's not coming until he comes back, contrary to those who believe that we need to establish dominion now.
Exactly. Yeah. There will be a 1,000-year kingdom, and then at the end of that, everything's brand new.
Right.
By the way, the scroll, this is how I always picture it. Just take a long piece of paper, roll it up. But to keep it from being unrolled all at once,
mm-hmm.
you put melted wax every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the seven seals.
Right.
So as it's being unscrolled, another seal is being broken. "Then I looked and heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, millions and millions of angels, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" So the angels, the unfallen,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps all of the angels, we don't know, but it says millions of angels. "And I heard every creature in heaven," every, underline that,
mm-hmm.
"every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth
uh-huh.
and in the sea." What creatures are in the sea?
Well, there'd be a Leviathan.
Yes.
Perhaps.
"And all that is in them, saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.'" Every creature God ever made,
mm-hmm.
fallen, unfallen, they're all saying this. "And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped."
Revelation 6, now we get into the really interesting stuff, the opening of the seals. "Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, 'Come.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer."
Okay, stop right there.
Now,
let's talk about this.
Well, the rider on the white horse, this... I think most prophecy scholars would agree represents the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. One of the questions, though, and there are a couple of reasons for that. First of all, Christ wears the crown described as a diadem, mm-hmm. whereas this rider is wearing a crown called the Stephanos. Mm-hmm. It's a different crown.
It's a different crown, and it was given to him.
Yes, given to him.
Yes.
It's not one that he took on himself. He had to be given this.
Christ didn't necessarily take it on himself either.
Well, no, but
the fact that he's going out to conquer, that's the big one.
Yeah, and he's conquering with a bow, which is something else. Again, when Jesus returns, he comes with a sword.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, the word toxon is the word that's translated bow, and it merely means something that takes the shape of a bow. And mm-hmm. as I've said before, this could be any type of weapon that moves like an arrow.
Okay. And
like a missile.
Right.
But at the very least, this is, I'm conquering by means of warfare.
Mm-hmm. And I'm speculating a bit here, and I think it's an interesting comparison that the pagan god Apollo, who was represented in earlier Semitic cosmology, Canaanite, and I'm finding Canaanite is kind of a false term. But anyway, the Semitic god Reshef was identified with Apollo. And before that, the Babylonian god Nergal, mm-hmm. All of them considered gods who were gatekeepers to the underworld,
mm-hmm.
and gods of war who were represented as archers. But they also brought pestilence with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they spread their pestilence or plague with by shooting their arrows.
Mm-hmm.
Reshef.
And that's why toxon is the root word for toxic.
Yeah. Yeah. So is this an early representation of the spirit that we identify as Apollo or Apollyon later?
I'd say so. In fact, some of the lessons that I took many, many years ago, the early lessons on the Book of Revelation, make the case that you get an outline and then you get filling in the outline. This mm-hmm. is the outline. The seals are the outline.
Yeah.
And then filling in the outline later on. So
okay.
when the abyss opens up and Apollo comes out, that Apollyon comes out, that this may be the first rider. It's also possible, and this is just, again, this really is speculation, major speculation. Mm-hmm. December 21, 2012, a celestial event took place that reset time, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It put us into another phase of the grand ecliptic.
The age of Aquarius.
Yes, it did. And it was when Sagittarius rose out of the mouth of Leviathan,
right,
the archer, in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It was Apollo rising
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
out of Leviathan's mouth. So there are some who believed that, and I still don't know. It's possible something took place in the divine council at that moment. Something happened that's a time marker. And it could be that the way you and I count time mm-hmm. doesn't really make sense. You know, that we can't say, we know it was this many number of days. The one thing that we can count days is when the Bible says it was 1,260 days. It was, you know, 2 and 3.5 months, or it was whatever, 7 years, 3.5 years. We can count then, but the fact that happened at a time when almost every world religion was looking at that date, had been looking at it for centuries, sometimes millennia,
right, right.
and saying something special is going to happen on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it was a rider on a horse with a bow,
right.
riding out of Leviathan in the sun.
Yeah. And the ancient Babylonians identified the constellation Sagittarius as Nergal, who again was Reshef, mm-hmm. was Apollo, is Apollyon.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that is really intriguing. Now, our friend David W. Lowe, in his book
Earthquake Resurrection.
Earthquake Resurrection, right. And then Peter Goodgame in Red Moon Rising mm-hmm. Make the case that the first five seals have already been opened, and that the first rider has been riding since the first century.
And I'm open to that.
When you look at the world around us, I mean, the god of war has been riding mm-hmm. for quite some time. I mean, the concept of human war didn't begin in the first century.
Well, but, Paul himself, as well as others in the New Testament, have said that we are living in the spirit there in the age of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is all about us. Jesus Christ as the slain lamb arriving in the divine council. And what happens? He immediately breaks the seal. So right. One might argue that the minute he got up to the Father, that it started.
Yeah. So that's a possibility, too. So, yeah, some interesting speculation here. But again, as we said before, there are no, on many of these things, the symbolism may be compelling, but there are no definite answers. And it's by God's design. We're not meant to understand this completely.
Exactly.
So.
Verse 3.
When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people should slay one another, and he was given a great sword.
What's interesting is that this builds on the first rider.
Yes.
When the first rider goes out conquering, by default, he's waging war.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taking peace from the earth.
Yeah.
The only difference is this guy's given a great sword.
Mm-hmm. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius." That's a full day's wage. "And 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and wine."
To unpack this really briefly, the original Greek translated pair of scales can also mean a yoke.
Ah, okay.
This is economic fascism.
Right.
We see this being built right now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the G20 just met. And last year and the year before, the decision at the end of their big meeting, these are the finance ministers from the big world, global 20, you know, top countries. They decided that free borders, open borders, free trade,
right.
You know, all is good. We've got to make sure that we open up everything so that Apple and Microsoft and all of the big companies worldwide, Google, Alibaba, that we can go wherever we want to go and do whatever we want to do and merge everybody together into a happy family. Well, this year, not so much.
Yeah.
The United States and Saudi Arabia got together and said, that ain't happening.
Yeah, we're going to bring back the age of protectionism.
Protectionism is back. And in the past, it was actually denouncing protectionism as not playing well with others.
Yeah.
And now it's, okay, protectionism is allowed.
Yeah. It will, and of course, the globalists are screaming bloody murder, but The idea of free trade is only beneficial to those who are looking for essentially free labor for their goods, which is why America is awash in Chinese products, because they have – well, we can go into a whole other article about that. But anyway, the rider of famine is out there. And the scales has one connotation,
it's
but the idea that a yoke –
because of economic control.
Right. An economic yoke being placed on people.
Mm-hmm.
And that is certainly something that the people who attend meetings like the World Economic Forum or the Bilderberg Group meetings or the Trilateral Commission meetings are all about.
Yeah, and I would say that this last line, "Do not harm the oil and the wine," essentially says the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Yep. Revelation 6, verse 7, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And this is interesting that Death and Hades are both personified.
Riders
here.
Are actually named here.
Yeah. And this is the right. These are the only riders that are actually named. We can speculate that the first rider is, you know, Apollo, Reshef, Nergal, but we don't know that for a fact. Here we do. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence. So now here they're basically doing everything that the previous riders
One
have done.
One builds on the previous rider.
Yeah.
All these four riders ride together.
Mm-hmm. To kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. Now, this is where you had your really fascinating presentation in 2014 that resulted in the book Ebola and the Fourth Horseman of the Apocalypse.
And the reason I wrote it because Ebola was hitting at the time. And I really just wanted to expand on this idea that this is a writer who is personified. He's given a name and Hades follows with him. Death in the Greek pantheon has its twin brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Hypnos and
Thanatos.
Thank you very much. Hypnos will take you gently down the river Lethe to sleep. know how Paul says that when you die in Christ, you sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're taken by Thanatos, you die.
Yeah.
You don't sleep. It's not pleasant. So this is someone coming to harvest your soul and take you forever. Hades following with him. Hades is often numbered with the Olympians.
Yes. Yeah. One of the 12 principal mm-hmm. gods, or however many there were among the Olympians.
Yeah.
He was brothers with Zeus and with Poseidon, and they basically mm-hmm. had to divide up the earth. And Zeus was the storm god, of course, god of the air, Poseidon, god of the ocean, and Hades, god of the underworld.
Well, Hades, god of the underworld. One reason this is important is because Thanatos served Hades.
Mm-hmm.
So he was taking people to Hades.
Right.
The fact that Hades, hell on earth, is happening here. This is not, and it's Kurt Russell. We all know that.
You got that. You tell them.
but this, to go back to the very first line, and I look to behold a pale horse. This is chlorophyll. It's chloros. It's the number. It's not a Luke-colored, white, cream-colored horse. This is a pale, sickly green-looking yeah. horse.
Chloros, from the word. That's where we get the word chlorophyll. Right.
So this is a really. This is awful. And the beasts, this is Therion, and this is, it can be beasts as in animals, but it can also be teeny weeny beasts as in bacteria and viruses and prions.
So. Right. Therion is a diminutive form
mm-hmm.
The word thera.
Exactly. So it means small beasts.
Yeah. And again, fascinating discussion, especially when you look at it in that context, that we may be seeing that now with the release the outbreaks of diseases like that. We didn't even mention this on Sci-Friday. We did talk about the outbreak of in the Congo
of monkeypox.
Monkeypox, but there's an outbreak of dengue fever in Vietnam mm-hmm. that's hitting as well.
Yeah.
And of course, the Ebola outbreak that we had a couple of years ago, which thankfully burned itself out before it, even though it reached the West, which really startled a lot of people. But it did not have the kind of impact that it might have had.
These things are only a plane ride away.
Right, exactly. So, some fascinating stuff in these four writers. And the thing I wanted to bring out, and I alluded to it earlier, that when the seals are opened and the beasts, the four living creatures who are the throne guardians for Yahweh, they are the guardians of the throne, say, come. It is only when they, on Yahweh's orders, tell the riders, come, that the riders have authority to go forth.
Mm-hmm.
So these are not going forth on their own authority. They are basically, now they are being allowed the power by God to go out and bring death and pestilence and famine upon the earth.
Exactly.
War
and it's yeah. often in the King James, I think it actually says, come and see.
Mm-hmm.
But I like this translation better. I think that this is the order from the throne.
Yeah.
That these have, now you may go. In other words, probably from the dawn of time, these writers have been prepared.
Yeah. And we discussed a similar thing, and I mentioned Habakkuk 3 before, which is the description of when Yahweh leads the Israelites out from Mount Sinai to take the Holy Land, Canaan, and plague and pestilence follow him. And those are the Canaanite deities, the Semitic deities, Deber and Reshef,
mm-hmm.
again, following him. And we discussed this on Skywatch TV, the interview that you and Josh had with me and Mike. And Mike made the point that, remember, they're following Yahweh. They are not leading him.
Right.
They are not acting outside of his authority. And that's something to remember about these four writers. Very often in Hollywood depictions, we watch Sleepy Hollow and enjoy the writing. Theology is junk.
Oh,
we know that going in because they're trying to stop the four writers of the apocalypse. And mm-hmm. It's assumed that the four writers of the apocalypse are going to do something really bad and mm-hmm. we need to try to stop it. Look, when God, they're not going to ride until God gives them the go. And at that point, nobody's going to stop them.
Exactly. This is all about judging the
yes,
earth.
Right. So when they ride, we're not going to be here, first of all.
Well, you and I probably won't be because those who
yes.
are alive now before the return, before the rapture,
yeah.
We won't be here. But there will be many who convert to Christianity
right.
and they will be slain.
And we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. And in fact, that they may be the ones who yeah. are mentioned in the very next seal.
Exactly. Now, here's the thing. If you're going to take this as they started writing the minute Christ got to heaven, 2,000 years ago they started mm-hmm. writing, then these are those who have been slain in those 2,000 years.
Right.
But if you take the viewpoint that when John was called up to heaven, he looked into the – everything is now
mm-hmm.
to Yahweh. Right. So when John was called up to heaven, he saw the now from the divine counsel point of view, but it's future to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what we call the rapture.
Right.
And if that is what we call the rapture, then these horsemen have not gone out yet.
Right, which means things will only get worse when they do.
Exactly.
Yeah. But because there is no reference, and I missed making this point earlier, from the point that John is called up into heaven, assumed into heaven, there is no further reference in the book of Revelation to the church on earth.
And the lampstand is now in heaven.
Exactly. Meaning, and that's evidence that the church has been raptured and called mm-hmm. out before this takes place on the earth.
Exactly.
Verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants, bondservants, and their brothers and sisters, should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. Now, either these are the martyrs through history, or these are the tribulation martyrs. Okay. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood. And this is the
These point. Are probably eclipses.
Right. My point was, this is the point where Peter Goodgame and David Lowe argued in Earthquake Resurrection and Red Moon Rising that the rapture took place at this point when the sixth seal was opened. Okay? Just making you aware of that, not saying we endorse
right.
that or agree with it.
Right.
They make a case, but you can also make a case for pre-wrath. And, you know,
exactly.
We believe in the pre-tribulation.
Rapture. Exactly. Yeah. And we want you to come to your own conclusion through
right.
study.
Right.
That's what we did.
Yeah. Don't take our word as gospel only. Take the gospel as gospel.
Amen.
Yeah. They cried out with a loud voice, but how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. The moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. A couple of things here. I'm learning as I study that the sun and the moon, as gods in the ancient Near East, were a lot more prominent than I thought they were, especially the moon god. In the Babylonian and Sumerian pantheon,
mm-hmm.
the sun god was actually the son of the moon god.
Mm-hmm.
The moon god was preeminent.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some suggestions, some evidence now coming out that the moon god was actually the one who convened their version of the divine council.
Mm-hmm.
That even their high god Enlil was subordinate to the moon god Sin. So this could be a little black saying, you know, Yahweh is the one who controls the sun and the moon.
Well, if you take a look at the entire context, it does seem like a judging on
The host of heaven,
exactly.
Right, because the stars fell from heaven, and
exactly.
stars often represent the heavenly host, angels.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's really interesting is if you look at Islamic eschatology, you will see that moon turning to blood, sun sackcloth, in other words, a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse, starting, I think, with the solar eclipse, and it has to happen within 1 month, and that just never
right,
happens.
Right. Yeah,
that
oh, that's right.
Happen.
It's impossible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That those will be signs of Mahdi.
Mm-hmm.
Arriving. These things are leading up to the return of Christ. These events can easily be misconstrued or faked.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a way to make people believe something happened, it's amazing on social media what you can convince people is true.
Yeah.
Look, this happened today in the Middle East. And suddenly you're seeing images or movies that mm-hmm. are actually just creative, you know, license, so
right,
to speak.
Right.
And you've got people all over the place believing it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that this has never happened in history.
No.
That a great earthquake occurs. And at the same time, you see a judgment of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And you see the sky vanishing like a scroll.
Right.
And every mountain and island removed from its place.
Yeah, this is a once-in-a-lifetime event. And this is
the
this
earth
is why
reeling like a drunkard?
Reeling like a drunkard. And this is why I don't believe that the preterist or even a partial preterist view is correct.
Yeah, I absolutely am there with you. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
But we see it every time. Over the past year, we had the four blood moons.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, is this a sign of the apocalypse? Well, no, not unless the sun is blackened like sackcloth at the same time.
Exactly.
Which, as you pointed out, can't happen.
It's physically impossible.
Because you can't have the moon, a lunar and solar eclipse at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Unless they've moved out of their orbits.
Yeah.
Unless the moon is in a different place now.
Or there's something else going on really significant that colors the moon. Yeah.
Something else that comes into our orbit and causes these things.
Yes, right.
Somebody could write Nibiru in the margins.
I'm sure they will.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it probably is already there now.
Please send your references for YouTube videos to someone else. Because we're, not to be rude, but we're busy. We're not going to watch them. Don't have time.
I get so many notes, and I know you do too. Can you watch this 3-hour YouTube video and tell me what you think of it? I haven't had time to watch it. Guess what? Neither do we.
Yeah, it's faster for us to read articles than it is to watch the videos.
It is.
Yeah. Well, verse 15. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful.
Oh, wait. No, you didn't actually read 14.
Oh, you're right. Verse 14. The sky vanished like a scroll.
Actually, let's start back up at 12 and read that.
When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. Black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood. The full moon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the stars of the sky fell to earth. Perhaps angels, this could be.
Exactly.
When
this is host of heaven.
There's the war in heaven, and the third of the angels come down with Satan when he's cast out by Michael. What was that?
I don't know.
Yeah, something fell off the desk. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up. And that's a reference to Isaiah 34, verse 4, where he talks about the host of heaven and the sky being rolled up. And every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals, interesting he mentions the generals, and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come. And who can stand?
Exactly. Now, this may well be the midway point of the final 7 years.
Yeah.
This may be when Antichrist goes in, declares himself God, because at that point there's a great earthquake.
Right.
And you know that the kings of the earth are looking and go, rats, what did we do?
Mm-hmm.
We've been supporting this guy for 3.5 years now.
Yeah.
Oops. Hashtag oops.
Yeah. Now, do you want to do chapter 7 here before
what time
we
is it?
We're almost at an hour right
let's
now.
Go ahead and stop here and then we'll deal with this next week.
Okay.
Well, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, because what we got coming next are the 144,000.
Yeah, and in 3 weeks.
Yeah, gosh, right.
Sorry about that again. We're going to be missing 2 Sundays in a row. I hate to do this to you, but you know, there's so much in here. We encourage you during that time to get in and dig commentaries.
Yeah.
You know, dig in and find this information for yourselves so that when we do come back in 3 weeks, you're probably going to know more than we do.
Yeah.
And you can shout at us as you listen.
Yeah, exactly.
You idiots!
You totally missed that. And, of course, if you're on Facebook, we've got a page set up where we can discuss all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So join us on Facebook. It's at facebook.com/GilbertHouse.
Mm-hmm.
And happy to engage there and discuss these things, because this has been debated for 2,000 years.
Just be nice.
And be nice,
remember,
right.
we're all part of the body of Christ. Stop nibbling on each other.
Right.
You haven't been called to be the immune system to go and devour self. That's called autoimmunity, and it's a disease.
It's an autoimmune disorder. It's a disorder. But, Revelation 7 gets into some interesting stuff where the 144,000 witnesses, the Jews, are called, and there are some questions about why certain tribes were left out. Where's Ephraim? Where's Dan?
Yes.
And why are they not on the list?
Yep, and we'll talk about that in 3 weeks.
Exactly. So, close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the excitement that your word brings to us. But Father, we ask for wisdom so that we can rightly divide not just the meaning of your words, but those passages that are beyond our understanding until they are fully revealed to us, just as the prophecies of Jesus' first coming were not fully revealed to the apostles until the day of Pentecost after his ascension into heaven, more than 40 days after his resurrection. And Lord, as we seek to better understand and we discuss these prophecies with our friends, help us, Lord, to be gentle with one another. We're surrounded by the enemy, and yet too often we find it all too easy to batter one another with our own opinions. So, Lord, we just pray for wisdom and discernment. And, Father, we ask you to strengthen those who are going out and making disciples in nations, especially the missionaries working in parts of the world where the gospel is a threat to their lives. We pray for those who are struggling this day financially, emotionally, spiritually, under attack by the enemy, physically, Father. We ask you to strengthen them and give them comfort, knowing that a day is coming when all of this will be made right. Father, we pray for your blessing, ask for your protection, and we give thanks for your sacrifice on our behalf, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with